Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please turn with me in the forepart of your hymnal to page 197? Our scripture passage for this morning, found in Matthew chapter 5, is written there for us on the left-hand side of the page where it says, Beate Pauperis, the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, tone 3, and it's right below there. And since this passage is written there for us, let us read that together responsively, shall we? And since there's a slash right there at halfway through each verse, why, that's where we'll split it up then. And so I'll read the first part, and if you'd be so kind, read the second part of each passage. And then when we are finished, since this is our reading for this morning, we will not say glory be to the Father that is down at the bottom of the page there, okay? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Let us bow our heads, shall we? Enlighten our minds, we pray, O God, by the Spirit who proceeds from you, so that as your Son has promised, we may be led into all truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. It had been an eventful series of days, those last several days, when Jesus spoke these words that we just read together from Matthew chapter 5. He'd spent a night in prayer on a mountain, and then he had chosen 12 of his disciples to be his apostles. He then, the Bible says, went throughout Galilee healing the sick. And Matthew says about him, Matthew says that news about him was spreading and large crowds began to follow him. When we come to chapter 5 of Matthew then, we read in verse 1 that when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. And his disciples came to him and he began to teach them saying, those words that we just read together, blessed are the poor in heart, and blessed and so forth, and the rest of those Beatitudes, that's what we call them, are the Beatitudes. Each one begins with the word blessed. And the word that is translated here as blessed in our version is translated as happy in some other versions. And that actually is a good translation, except that in America, our word happy has come to mean sort of a shallow kind of happiness. I mean, you can be drunk. Some people say they're happy when they get drunk and emotional high, and that's not really what it means. It's a deeper kind of happiness than that. You can have this kind of happiness even when tears are running down your cheeks. It is independent of the changing circumstances around us. It is stable that way. Each one of the Beatitudes begins with that word, blessed. And one scholar describes the Beatitudes like this. He says, they are all a simple declarative sentence. Well, that's true enough, isn't it? I mean, that's the way they all begin. Blessed are the poor in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? They all be a simple declarative sentence. But he goes on to say that embedded in each one is an exhortation for you and me to be that kind of person. Luther's explanation of the Beatitudes, that is, of the Beatitudes as a whole, is very simple. He says this, that the Beatitudes are a summary of the fruit and good works of the Christian. It's a good description, isn't it? But I would be remiss, I think, if I were to just simply describe what the Beatitudes are and never talk about any of them in particular. So let's talk about one of them in particular, shall we? Let's talk about the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? What does it mean to be poor in spirit, right? It means spiritually poor. What does that mean? Well, you can read a lot of commentaries and see a lot of explanations of this, but they all seem to boil down to one thing to me, and that is this, that you have a realistic understanding of yourself in relation to God. So that the more you know God, the more you will see how great He is and how small you are. The more I know God, the more I will see how holy He is and how far from holy I am. And when you finally begin to see yourself as you really are in comparison with Him, you begin to see then this simple truth. Nothing I have ever done measures up to His standard of holiness and His standard of perfection. I used to think that it did. I used to think I was a pretty good person. Back when I was in college, I thought that. I'd pull off my car and help somebody by the side of the road or a lot of things like that. And it seemed to me I was a pretty decent person. And then I began to grow in my knowledge of God and a knowledge of myself. I began to see there was nothing that I ever did that wasn't tainted with sin. Sometimes it was simply the desire to have a good feeling for myself that I would get when I helped someone else or whatever. But that is to be poor in spirit, is to understand, like the tax collector that we heard about the other day, to understand what he was in light of who God is, and to say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's what it is to be poor in spirit. To be genuinely repentant of what I am, what I have done with the good gifts God has given me. What do I mean by the good gifts God has given me? Well, He's given me my mind. Look at the garbage I have put in my mind. He's given me my eyes. Look at the garbage that I have looked upon that insults Him. He's given me my hands, my feet. Look at the places my feet have taken me where I never should have gone. Those are the kinds of things that begin to come into our mind as we begin to be poor in spirit. We begin to see who we are and what we've done in relationship to who God is and what He has done for us and how He is. Now, how is this different from having a negative self-image, right? Our society around us would look at this passage and say, well, that's a pretty negative self-image, isn't it? You don't want to be like that. How will you ever accomplish anything in life with that kind of a self-image? But there's a difference between being poor in spirit and having a simple negative self-image, right? Jesus says the poor in spirit are blessed. It is a blessed state to be in. And there's one additional step, see, to be poor in spirit than to just have a negative self-image. There's one additional step in order to be blessed. And that is that those very weaknesses that you see in yourself, the very sins that you've committed, the things that you hate about yourself, see, those are the very things for the blessed person that drive them to Christ. And that's what makes them blessed, is that they've been driven to Christ by their weaknesses, their helplessness, and their sins. And so the blessed person is driven to Christ, the very person who can wash those sins away. In fact, he has washed those sins away. That's the very person who's speaking these words. So he ought to know that that person can be blessed. So when I look at myself, I can say, yes, I've got a sin problem. I've got a mountain of sin out there. But then I look at the Savior and I say, yeah, but I've got a Savior who moves mountains. And I look and say, with Isaiah, my best works are filthy rags. But you know what? There's a Savior who has taken my garments and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Because Jesus lived his perfect life. He lived it in my place. And then when he died and took all my sins away, my unrighteousness does not exist anymore, and neither does yours. What a thought. What a thought that is, that though you are sinful, he has made you clean. And for your shortcomings, he has given his perfect life, so that the person who is poor in spirit can walk out of here today with his head held high and say, oh, I know what I am, but look at this Savior I've got. Imagine what he could do with someone like me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Would you please bow your head with me? Oh, gracious Father, we ask you to so guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit that we may not exalt ourselves, but that we may humbly fear you and with our whole hearts hear and keep your word. And then by that word, Father, sanctify us and help us to place our hope and confidence in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.